Give me the word. Make it plain and clear to me. Give me the word. It's a light that I might see. Give me the word.
Give me the word, an outreach of Restoration Church. Visit us online at restorechurch.ca. Now let's join Jeff Edwards as he brings us a word of encouragement, hope, and restoration for today.
This is Jeff Edwards, and I'd like to thank you for tuning in to Give Me the Word. Give Me the Word is brought to you to help establish you in faith, to settle you, to put you beyond doubt, and bring you into a favorable position. We believe God to bring into your life a fresh word from God every week that makes a difference in your life, that encourages you, that uplifts you, that strengthens you, that answers the tough questions, that puts you on a course of victory and helps you overcome life situations and circumstances for this life that we live in. As the book of Job tells us, all men were born into trouble. And these days that we live in, you'll agree with me, that they are difficult, perilous, and hard to live in. The Bible has much to say about victory and overcoming, and all of those have to do with our faith. And our faith is so important. We're going to learn that faith is not just a system of belief, but faith is a person, and His name is Jesus Christ. He is the author and the finisher of our faith. We're going to look and see why is faith important. We're going to dispel some of the myths about spiritual maturity and what people think. And we're going to get to the point and the place in our lives that God is able to do and accomplish all that He wants to accomplish, because with God, all things are possible. We're going to get rid of the unbelief and the doubt and the fear in our lives and step into a new place of faith. We're going to understand things about faith that we've never recognized before. We're going to look at why is faith important? Well, without faith, it's impossible to please God. We know that in Hebrews chapter 11, the Bible says it this way, that faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. One gentleman put it this way and said, faith is like Wi-Fi. It's invisible, but it has the power to connect you to what you need. Oh, you can just get a hold of that right now. You've just got to tune in the right station. That's what you've done. You've tuned in the right frequency to bring healing, deliverance, breakthrough, to bring wisdom and understanding into your life, no matter where you're at on this journey. Perhaps you're someone who's a fully devoted follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. Or you're someone who's just listening and you're going, I'm inquiring as to, do I want to move forward in this relationship with Jesus Christ? Remember, it's not about religion. It's about a relationship with Jesus Christ. It transcends all denominational thinking. It transcends interdenominational and non-denominational, because we're talking about a relationship with Jesus Christ. And that personal, real relationship with Jesus Christ is what will transform your life. And that's why Jesus is the author and finisher of our faith. You know, when it comes to the Word of God, it says in Hebrews 11:6, and we're going to look at a lot of Scripture, because once again, the Bible tells us in Romans chapter 10 and verse 17, that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Hebrews 11:6 states, but without faith it is impossible to please Him. For he who comes to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. Let's face it, believing in a God we cannot see and believing that He is who He says He is takes faith, and that pleases God. We need to know that Jesus Himself, while He walked on planet Earth here with the disciples, Jesus noticed levels of faith. Listen to this. In the book of Matthew, we see different people with two different levels of faith. In Matthew 15:28, then Jesus answered and said to her, O woman, great is your faith. Let it be as you desire. And her daughter was healed from that same very hour. Matthew 14:31. And immediately Jesus stretched out His hand, caught him, and said to him, O you of little faith, why did you doubt? Speaking of Peter, who was walking on the water. He was doing the miraculous. He was living in a realm of the supernatural that others had not experienced, because he had stepped out. Listen very carefully. When Jesus called to him, the record in the Word of God, when Jesus called to him and said, you know, come, walk, Peter was stepping out on the Word of God, and the Word of God superseded the natural limitations of what should have taken place. Did you hear that? Get a hold of that right now. The Word of God supersedes the natural limitations. The man with the withered hand, Jesus said, stretch forth your hand, and it would be made whole as the other. the woman with the issue of blood. It says that her faith had made her whole. The blind man, Jesus said, be it unto you according to your faith. The leper was healed by faith. We're going to take a look at this by faith, and we're going to recognize that the Bible has a lot to say about faith. We're going to be breaking down very detailed over the next month here, Hebrews chapter 11, one of my favorite chapters in the Bible. It's the Hall of Faith. Hallelujah. You see, the man with little faith, Jesus described, was Peter. He was a man who had heard the word, began to step out on the word, and then fear got a hold of him. I say to you right now, Jesus recognizes little faith, no faith, great faith, and a faith that groweth exceedingly. And it's not according to our age. It's according to the willingness of our heart to believe and to act and to receive this word of God. The Bible says, receive the word of God with all meekness, for it is able to save your soul. As we read the word of God and we continue to see what God has to say, we're going to see that faith causes things to happen in our life. You know, in Mark chapter 2 and verse 5, when Jesus saw his faith, he said to the paraplegic, son, your sins are forgiven you. The lame man got up, grabbed his mat, and went home. When Jesus saw the faith of the lame man's friend, he moved on their behalf and healed their friend. You see, God can see faith. Why? You say you have faith without works, but faith and works go hand in hand. There's a part you must do, and there's a part only God can do, and you need to get a hold of the word of God. Now listen carefully. This is one of the greatest things about faith. T.L. Osborne said it this way. Faith begins where the will of God is known. Faith begins where the will of God is known. That's why when we go to the Bible, we read the Bible and we find out what the will of God is for our situations and circumstances, and we no longer have to pray, if it be thy will. Matter of fact, it's God's will. It says, I would that all men be saved and come unto a knowledge of the truth. That's God's will. And so we can see that even though it's God's will and God's desire for all men to be saved and come unto a knowledge of the truth, there are many that are not. And so ask yourself this question. What does this part, does this faith that we're talking about have to do in bringing what God wants to have in my life come to pass? Listen, faith strengthens us through trials. In Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 16, it says, above all, taking the shield of faith, which with you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. It also tells us in James chapter 2 and verse 3, it says that the testing of your faith produces patience. As we stand firm in faith through trials, God gets glory. That the genuineness of your faith being much more precious than gold that perishes, that is tested by fire, may be found to praise and to honor and to glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ. 1 Peter 1:7. Faith fuels everything we do. James chapter 2 and verse 6 says, for as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead. As I said to you a few minutes ago in James 2, 17 and 18, it says, thus also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. But someone will say, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith without your works, and I will show you my faith by my works. Our faith can encourage. We're looking at why. You know, is this faith that we're talking about, and this faith in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, this faith that cometh by hearing the word of God, this faith that is evidence, gives us evidence and proof of something that's ours, this faith that is based on a word from God's known will. Listen, our faith encourages others. Colossians 1, 3 and 4 says, we give thanks to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus, and of your love for all the saints. It is easier to stay committed to God when you see faith at work in other people's life. Come on, it's very encouraging. You know, when you see the faith of people, there's some people that just inspire my faith. We have one beautiful woman in the church. She's in her 80s. I won't tell you how far along in her 80s. And she just encourages me because she just believes God every single day. And she's always got a prayer and a praise on her lips. And it brings such an encouragement to me, seeing her walk out her life of faith. Folks, everybody's watching. And your life of faith, how you're going through the testing and the trial, how you're seeing the victories come to pass in your life, how you're handling every situation is encouraging people's faith as you're giving glory to God and giving testimony that God is faithful to His Word, that His grace abounds. Faith is the very foundation of our salvation. Listen to this. It says in Ephesians 2, 8, and 9, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." So this element of faith, this person of faith, this system of faith, this mindset of faith, this, dare I say it this way, the spirit of faith, that's what we're going to be looking at, the spirit of faith. 2 Corinthians 4:13. "We have the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believed and therefore have I spoken. We also believe and therefore we speak." As we look at faith, I want you to do something here on this day. I want you to set aside everything you think you know. And I want you to open your heart up as we pray this morning and we get into the Word of God, that a fresh revelation of faith would enlighten you and just cause your soul and your spirit to leap. You know, whenever you get to the point of setting something aside and looking at it with fresh eyes, it's amazing what God will teach you. I mean, many years ago, when I was the ministry in Fort Worth, Texas, Dr. Jerry Savelle's ministry, he went and he ministered an entire week at a church in Missouri, and he preached this. He preached a fresh look at the Word of Faith. And he brought that back, and I listened to all those again, and I got so excited, just like I'd heard it the first time, about what God will do and the possibilities with faith and how faith works and the person of faith. And boy, my faith just grew and grew, and I was so excited. I had this series renamed and titled Dig Again, the Wellsprings of Our Father. And I made sure every Bible school student got a hold of that for the next season so that they could always go back and get a fresh look. Some of us need to take a fresh look at what God's done in our lives. Take a fresh look at the Word of God. Some of you have never, ever heard any of the things that I'm about ready to teach you so that you can experience the fullness of God in healing and breakthrough and turnaround in your life. Remember, we're laying a solid foundation from which to build our lives, and that foundation is God is not a man that he should lie. The foundation is God's Word can be absolutely trusted, and Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. The benefits of seeking the Lord are so real and so magnificent, and one of them is when we seek the Lord, we don't need to worry about everything everyone worries about. Because in Matthew 6, 31 through 33, it says, "So don't worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you have need of them. But seek his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well." So as we look at this person of faith, this Word of faith, as we begin to let the Spirit of faith come alive on the inside of us, that we believe with God we can do all things are possible, that God has said it, and therefore we're going to lay hold of it. And I want you to get excited about turnaround and breakthrough and change. I want you to get excited. Remember what it was like when you first got saved and gave your life to Jesus Christ. Oh, you were so passionate. You were on fire. He was the love of your life. You were telling everyone. Well, sometimes we just need to recapture once again that flame and that fervor of our youth in the Lord. And we can carry that now into a new place and bring others into a place of safety. Just like Noah, God had instructed him to build the ark. So our faith is, as we begin to share it with people, our faith becomes a safe resting place as we share it with people, and then they have their own personal relationship with Jesus Christ. It's a misconception and a myth in the body of Christ that, you know, many people think the longer you're around, the greater faith you have. No, I often hear spiritual leaders express concern about a lack of depth in people's faith. Shallow Christianity is marked by these five C's, and this comes from Tony Cook, and I'll tell you, he's an incredible leader and teacher to pastors and mentors, and I want to give you these. You know, these are the shallow faith marks, shall we say it that way. It is casual. It's not committed. It's based on convenience and not on covenant. It knows comfort, but not the cross. It is compromised, but not consecrated. It produces carnality, not Christ-likeness. Let me just speak this once again. We're endeavoring to bring you truth, and truth will always set you free. We're going to bring faith to you and minister faith and preach faith to you. But we want you to understand, faith understands a full commitment. It's not casual. It's fully committed to the life. That we are not just to give our hearts to Jesus. We are to give him our lives. It is fully committed. It is not based on convenience. Our faith is not based on convenience. It's based on covenant. And covenant is a relationship with the Lord. God expressed his covenant love for us and redeemed us through the New Testament, the new covenant that we have in Jesus Christ. Everything you and I believe that we have been given has been given to us in the new covenant. You see, real faith is not casual. It's not convenient. It doesn't know its own comfort. It knows the cross, because that's where everything happened for you and me. That Jesus paid the price for everything at the cross of Calvary. One of my favorite songs that I love is called It's Still the Cross. We at Restoration Church still believe it's the cross. It's the cross that sets men free. It's the blood of Jesus that still is able to save people and to wash away guilt and shame. You can't do it yourself, but it takes a full commitment and a full understanding of the covenant, and that it's not about our comfort. And when we understand that a full faith is fully consecrated to the Lord, it's not compromised. We're fully consecrated to the Lord. What does that mean? I don't know what it means for you and for me, for Matthew 6, where I just read a few minutes ago, where we're to seek him first with all of our heart, and he'll take care of all the things. We're to seek him first and put him first in everything. It's fully consecrated to him, separated unto him. Every part of our life, spirit, soul, and body, every part of our life, mentally, emotionally, our family, our finances, everything is separated and consecrated unto him. And it produces not carnality. We shouldn't be more like the world. We should be more Christ-like every single day. So as you move ahead in this journey called faith, as you continue to grow in this relationship called faith, you begin to see some things. Growth and maturity are the normal and expected outgrowth of a decision to follow Jesus. Listen to this. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 15 says, "We will speak the truth in love, growing in every way more and more like Christ." 2 Thessalonians 1:3 says, "Your faith grows exceedingly." See, faith grows exceedingly in our relationship with Jesus Christ. We should be doing greater things than we've ever imagined before as we stay connected to Jesus. 2 Peter 3:18 says, "Grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Savior, Jesus Christ." 1 Peter 2:2, "You must crave pure spiritual milk so that you will grow into the full experience of salvation." Can I tell you something? Where you go to church makes all the difference. Where you're sitting under the Word of God, is the Word of God being taught? Are you being encouraged to read the Word of God where you're going? It's important to be in a good Bible-based church. And you know what? There's no perfect church out there, because church has people involved with it, and people have struggles, and people have battles, and we have all kinds of different age groups and people in church. And I'm not just talking about chronologically. I'm talking about people get born again when they're 60 or 70 or 30 or 10 or whatever the age is. You're a child in the Lord. We need to understand that God loves his church, and that the church is to be like a family, and that we help one another grow and we stay connected even in the difficult things. Folks, I want you to get involved with a Bible-based church. If you don't have one, get a hold of us at restorechurch.ca. We'll try and help find you one. If you're in the greater Sudbury area and you don't have a church home, we'd like for you to connect with us at 1621 Valley View Road. Every Sunday, we'd like to connect with you and just see you grow in your faith, because faith grows in community. Anybody can walk in love if you don't have to be around other people. And see, get a hold of this right now. You know, there's no perfect Christian. There's a perfect Savior. His name is Jesus Christ. And as we grow, then we become more merciful, more gracious, more loving, more faith-filled. And I'll tell you, that encourages people. And so get involved someplace. That's so important. If you are not experiencing progress in your spiritual development, we need to seek God diligently on why not. You know, and discover why. And then to get a hold of us, get a hold of something that'll make a difference in our life. I like what Francis Fenlon said. He said, there is nothing that is more dangerous to your own salvation, more unworthy of God, and more harmful to your own happiness than that you should be content to remain as you are. I'm hungry for God. Oh, in our church, we have it on the wall. It says a passion for God, a passion for souls, a passion for His presence, and we're adding a passion for His Word. You see why? I don't want to remain the way that I am. I'm growing constantly. I have battles. You know, I go through and have just recently come through I'm still on my way through the journey of a dark night, a night of sorrow in my soul. You say, what's it about, Brother Jeff? It doesn't matter what it's about, but I can tell you I've experienced the pain. I know your pain. And can I tell you what? As you go through, though you walk through the valley of the shadow of, the Bible says death, but dare I say pain, or dare I say suffering. You know, in order for there to be a shadow, there must be some light someplace. And I say to you right now that the light of the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ spring forth in your life in the name of Jesus, that hope burst alive on the inside of you right now. Oh, God loves you so much. If you'll just settle the issue that God loves you. And ask yourself this question, if you're a Christian and you've received Christ and you don't appear to be growing, why is there no growth? You know, sometimes we think the time automatically makes us spiritually mature. No, that's not the case. You know, the book of Hebrews says in 5 verse 12, for though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God. And you have come to need milk and not solid food. That's quite an indictment, and that's the children of Israel he was speaking to. But the Bible tells us in the book of Corinthians that we are to learn from what the children of Israel went through and not do the same things in our lives. Are we walking in a place where we're growing? Or do we think, well, just because I've been in church 50 years, I'm growing. That doesn't necessarily mean you're growing. I think it was John Bevere that said it this way. He said, sometimes, you know, how long you been a Christian? 20 years? Let me ask you a question. Have you been a Christian 20 years and have the fruit of 20 years of Christianity? Or have you been a Christian 1 year 20 times? Think about that. You know, we should be growing. Ask yourself this. You know, are you more merciful? Are you more gracious? Are you more loving? Are you more forgiving? Are you more patient? Are you more joyful? Are you more optimistic? Are you more committed to the cause of Christ than ever before? See, these are indicators of your growing in the Lord. And if you're not, then you have to ask yourself, why? Myth number two is proximity. Some people think, well, just because I'm close to people that are spiritual or passionate or on fire for God, then I'm going to get it and I'm going to mature and I'm going to grow. Well, let me say it to you this way. Judas was close to Jesus. Ananias and Sapphira were part of the church, and you'd have to read the record there, and it talks about how they lied to God and to the assembly. It says Simon the sorcerer in Acts chapter 8 and verse 13, he believed the gospel, was baptized, and even continued with Philip, but he certainly didn't mature the way God desired because he thought the gift of God could be bought. Oh, Felix was around the Apostle Paul, and Paul shared incredible testimonies with him, and yet he said, thou almost persuadest me. You see, it's not necessarily just because you're around. It's not necessarily just because you're in a church. I like what Brother Jerry said. He says, you know what? I can put on a hat with a propeller on it. Doesn't make me an airplane. Or I can, you know, put four wheels and sit down in the garage, and that doesn't make me a car. Well, folks, we need to let our faith speak. Remember, faith without works is dead. And faith pleases God. And faith opens up the avenues for everything that God wants for you and for me. And this faith that we're looking at brings incredible benefits. And we're looking at the spirit of faith. The spirit of faith. Can I tell you something about the spirit of faith? Listen to this. The spirit of faith is tough. It's not fragile or sensitive. When you're facing things in life, you have a choice whether or not to fall to pieces. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 8 and 9, perplexed, but not in despair. You don't have all the answers, but you have the ones you need. Cast down, but not destroyed. Just because you have faith doesn't mean you're not going to get knocked down. My Bible says in Micah 7, 8, O my enemies, rejoice not against me, for when I fall, I shall arise. I'll tell you, there's something about the spirit of faith. You know, I'm praying for you right now in the name of Jesus for illumination and the spirit of faith to just burst alive in your heart. Faith's coming over these airwaves right now. Faith is encouraging you. Your faith is being built up in the name of Jesus. Why? Because you're hearing the word. And God's word carries within it the very word itself has the seed and all the faith that's necessary for it to come to pass in your life. There's a spirit of faith. The spirit of faith. You know, it helps you make a decision to cheer up even when you don't feel like it. That's right. The Apostle Paul said to Silas in jail, Silas, sing. Praise the Lord. Even when you don't feel like it, that's a spirit of faith. It's tough. Spirit of faith is not, oh, woe is me. Spirit of faith stands up. Sure, we go through pain. Sure, we go through sorrow. Sure, we have to be able to embrace that pain and share that pain. But there comes a time and a point where the spirit of faith says enough is enough. And you got to just rise up and say, I will believe God. I will not sit here while I die. You know, that I'm going to press into this word of faith. You see, what do you have faith in? Well, have faith in God. Mark 11:22 tells us to have faith in God. Have the faith of God. Lay hold on God's faithfulness. Faith must have an object, something to look to and to grab a hold of, and that is Jesus Christ. Attach your faith to God, your expectation, your dependency in God. Trust in Him, in His plan, in His faithfulness, in His mercy. Have faith in the blood of Jesus Christ. I like it when they say it this way. It's the liquid love that flows from the heart of God and reaches into the heart of man and heals you where you have been broken by life, redeems your life from destruction, and restores peace and joy to your heart. The blood of Jesus speaks of the love of God. While we were sinners, Christ died for us. Have faith in the blood. Have faith in God. Have faith in the name of Jesus. It says that at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow. Have faith in the power of God. 1 Corinthians 2:4-5 talks about the power of God. And this, when His power is present, His ability is there, and you're not limited by your ability. You have God's ability, God's power, God's energy. I speak that to you right now. And this is where we're going to wrap up today, and I want you to tune in next week, and I want you to go ahead and invite your friends and family and coworkers to listen to this message and go onto our website at restorechurch.ca and connect with us, because God wants to deliver you. He wants to make you stand. He wants to perform what He has promised to you. He wants to keep you from falling. He wants you to know that you can lay hold of the promises that He's given you with a surety and confidence that God will bring them to pass. God is faithful to His word. Remember, get around a good Bible-believing church. Get someplace where the Word of God's being taught and you're being taught to encourage the Word, reading the Word of God. And if you don't have a church home in the greater Sudbury area, come visit us Sunday mornings at 10:30, 1621 Valley View Road. Go onto our website at restorechurch.ca. We'd love to connect with you. If you're listening to me right now, I began, and I'm going to pray for you, that this word that we've spoken, the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, this word of faith brings light into your darkness right now. I say to you in the name of Jesus that this word of faith that we preached to you today brings faith alive and hope into your heart in the name of Jesus. I want you just to say this, no matter where you're at across this great network and where you're listening to the sound of my voice right now, and I'm so thankful for KFM and this great northern network that continues to reach out into every village, valley, town, and we want you to know that we love you and God loves you and that He has precious things in store for you. I pray in the name of Jesus. Just say this. I pray in the name of Jesus that faith springs alive in my heart. I thank you, Jesus, that you died for me. You have risen from the dead for me. I'm giving my life to you right now today afresh, or I'm giving my life to you for the very first time, and I'm dedicating it and consecrating it to you right now. Holy Spirit, come fill me in the name of Jesus. Lead me, guide me. If you pray that prayer, get a Bible. If you don't have one, get a hold of us. We'll get one to you. You can go online and you can get them. There's all kinds of Bibles online. And get to church this weekend. This is Jeff Edwards saying, God loves you. We love you. Remember, Jesus is risen. Victory is assured. Give me the word.
Thank you for tuning in to Give Me the Word with Jeff Edwards. For more faith-building messages and resources, visit us online at restorechurch.ca and download our app today. Remember, Jesus is risen, victory is assured.